live in such a concrete world. We just sang a song about Him lifting our sorrows. And you know, those are really true songs. I'm going to be talking today to a very special group, which is mothers, right? And it ends up being girls and mothers, but it's about the same thing. But I want to tell you, at the end of the service today, the prophetic team are going to be up here, and they want to pray with you. They've been preparing and asking the Lord for His words to you. And I'll tell you a story. A few years ago, a young lady, a little bit older than this girl on the screen. Yeah, she's up there. She came to me and she was having panic attacks. And it was so bad that she was walking through the hallway at school and she'd have a panic attack and end up on the floor in a fetal position, unable to get up. And it was getting to be a real problem because these things would just keep happening. So we begin to pray about that just asking the Lord, where do these come from? What's happening? And it was interesting. It reminded me that song we sang reminded me of it, because when the Lord came, what He showed her was she saw a picture of herself with her backpack, which I guess all students today carry backpacks to school. She was carrying a backpack, but her backpack was so heavy it had overwhelmed her and it was forcing her to the ground. And you know what was inside of that backpack? Sadness. Sorrow. Like, over and over in her life, something would happen and it would become a weight and she would put it in this backpack. And then something else would happen and she'd put it in the backpack. And something else would happen and she'd put it in the backpack. And you know, it was okay for a few years, but by the time she's a teenager, the backpack, the weight that she's carrying overwhelmed her, even physically and emotionally. And it was the most amazing thing. I asked Jesus to come, you know? And she told me what happened. She said, Jesus came when she's laying on the ground, remembering that day in the hallway at school. And He slowly took those things out of the backpack. She let Him take them. And she got healed that day. And I believe this morning that as we're talking to mothers, and it's true, we're people, right? I believe during ministry time today, some of you are carrying things that Jesus wants to carry. He carries our sorrows. And there are things, there's pressure. You know, when I think about women, moms, I know some things about you guys, right? And this, of course, she's not a mother, but she may be someday. And it's very interesting when you look at her running through life. I just picked that picture, random picture. But you think about this. What all does she need to know? What does she need to be aware of, right? To have a successful life, to have a fulfilled life. Well, hydration is big. Any of you guys, most of the men don't know that. But women, you're aware of that. Hydration's a big deal. So she needs that. Education's a big deal if she wants to have a good life. She needs to set goals, right? She needs to have healthy meals. She needs to eat right. She needs to sleep. She needs sleep to be healthy. Her body type matters. Are you starting to see what happens to the women in our world? There's just thing after thing after thing after thing just keeps adding up on them. She needs to know what's about her mental health. How is she doing? She needs to pay attention to her clothes. You know, it's terrible. She needs to pay attention to personal hygiene. Do you know how much pressure there is on the girls in our world? See, men, we're sort of unaware of it. I can tell by looking at you guys, most of you don't care what your hair looks like today. Or you don't care, you think there's just more to love. You're like, come on. You know, it's like, that's what we think. You're like, baby, who could resist this? That's what you think. That's not, because it's just true, right? You know, this isn't a bad thing, but it's common for women to be more sensitive and pay more attention to than men do. And you know, women are sensitive about a lot of stuff. You know, what do you do about your friends? You know, listen, there's no pressure on being a woman. It's a wonder lightning didn't just strike and split this building wide open. You guys have tremendous pressure on you. You know, when I think about it, listen, I know this is true. You're sensitive. Like, it's like for moms, it's a superpower. Like, do you know you can hear your own child's needs before they even hit the airwaves usually? It's like, it really is supernatural. Like, you guys judge men because men won't get up out of bed to take care of the kids at night. Listen, they're unaware. Most men don't even know they're making noise until they're gagging and almost on death's door, right? But you women know. You know. You know when you walked in this room, you're sensitive to how other people in the room are looking at you. You're sensitive to what's being said. You're sensitive to the atmosphere, like Dara said. Dara's a mother, and she hears things. You see, it's just a reality in a woman's life. Women are sensitive to stuff. And you know what's interesting? You're also smart. You really are. And you know what happens? The more intelligent you are, the more able you are to judge yourself. You see, you have tremendous pressure. You live under a constant pressure us men can't understand. Listen, your society puts pressure on you. It puts a standard. You should be like this. The billboards. Have you ever seen a billboard? You know those aren't real people. They've been photoshopped. Like, if you're wanting to look like those girls, it ain't going to happen. It's not real. But that puts pressure on you. You know what? Your mother-in-law puts pressure on you. Not intentionally. You know the saddest thing in the world? What if your mother-in-law was the best mother that ever was? How are you going to live up to that? You see, and you know what's bad is everything in the world, our society, movies, books, there's so much pressure on women. And moms, you understand this. And you know what's interesting when I think about this, even the church puts pressure on women, right? You got to be a Proverbs 31 woman. That's in the Old Testament. You can read it. It will either give you hope or it'll condemn you to the pits of hell. Because you ain't it. You don't dress right. You're not in style or you're too in style. See the back? Man, it's pressure. If you dress too modern, if you don't dress modern enough, are you modest? Are you too modest? You don't want to look like, well, you don't look like that. And it's like, men don't have that stuff. Men don't have that stuff. Most men don't care. I remember some women were commented, some women, including my wife, and some commented about this jacket I was wearing, how cool it was. And I was like, wow, I didn't know this was a cool jacket. I'll probably never wear it again. I don't want to wear a cool jacket. I don't want to look modern. I'm 63 years old. I don't want to look like, you know, I was thinking Dwayne. I don't want to look like a young man like Dwayne. I want to look like me. But so see, it's a different world you guys live in. And you know, I know a secret about you ladies. Because all this stuff puts pressure on you. And you know what it puts pressure on you to do? To judge yourself. What's the standard? What's God's measurement? What's His mark He wants for you? Because you know what it does to you? When you judge yourself by all these other standards, you know what it does. It's devastating. But you know, I know a secret. You don't want me to know this. You really don't. But I know something about you. I know who your worst critic is. It's you. For you girls, you're your worst critic. For you mothers, you know what standards you don't meet. You know that you didn't clean under your bed for 2.5 years. You know it. Rest of the house perfect, but you ain't been under that bed. There could be small children under there. They've been missing for years. I know where they are. You know. You know that when you cook, you're not a chef. You know that you're not as creative. I see it all the time. Some people are just so hyper-creative, and everybody else who's not judges themselves. You know, it's terrible. And so, I feel it's just like a reality. There is pressure on you, right? It's real. But I want you to know something. It's very interesting. This is World War II. Rosie the Riveter. A whole new pressure came on the, you know, the most oppressed people's group in the history of the world? It's women. Amazing transformation in the last few years. Things have happened. But the truth is, women were oppressed more than any other people's group in history. And this poster from World War II, it was a huge thing. I really think the war wouldn't have, we would have had a hard time in the war if the ladies in America hadn't have totally transformed themselves just within weeks and months. And they took all the jobs that the men that were sent to war left. And it would totally change things. And it totally changed the way we look at women. And it, one thing it did, it put more pressure on you. So now, not only do you have this or all these other responsibilities, now you have to do the work that the men were doing before World War II. Now women have to do it too. Plus, you can't neglect your other stuff. It's really a funny thing. Well, I want to look at Scripture today. I want you to see something. I want you to be encouraged. Because I want you to know this. The standards that the world, your peer group, I didn't even mention that. Your peer group puts pressure on you to meet the standards, right? The pressures of the world. God has a standard too. And I found that following Jesus is life. And His standard is brings life. Our standards brings death. We call it law. But look what, it's funny. I love this passage of Scripture. In Romans chapter 16, Paul wrote over half the New Testament, right? The Apostle Paul, he was arguably the most educated person of his day. He was so intelligent, and he was a leader among the Jews in his day. And he became a Christian. He became a follower of Jesus. And Romans is actually probably the biggest theological treatise in the Bible. It's an unbelievable book. And in Romans chapter 16, Paul is saying goodbye to the church in Rome. And he does this in a really interesting way. And this is what Paul is saying. Look what he said. Now let me introduce you to you our dear and beloved sister in the faith, Phoebe, a shining minister of the church in Centuria. A woman. And if you read this passage, he goes on to list four different women. He says they're ministers, partners in the faith. He says they're fellow prisoners. They went to prison with him for Christ. And also that they're apostles. Did you realize that? Paul saw women as equal partners. Not as less than. Not as only good for doing this and this and this. He saw them differently than we do. And a lot of times I think because it's Greek names, we don't catch this when we read this. But if you go on and read the rest of Romans 16, he goes on to say, and greet Epaphroditus, who was the first convert to Christ in the Roman province of Asia. What an amazing thing. I love him dearly. Then verse 6, and give my greetings to Miriam, who has toiled and labored extremely hard to beautify you, to serve you. Then he said, make sure that my relatives, Andronicus and Junia, are honored, for they're my fellow captives who bear the distinctive mark of being outstanding, well-known apostles. Junia. Listen, ladies, you're not a second-class citizen to anybody. You aren't who you think you are. And I want to tell you, I believe our society puts this pressure on us to judge ourselves, to live up to all these standards. And I think, you know, that Jesus came and He brought a new kingdom to the world. He brought a new way of living. He brought a new way of thinking to the world. And it's the kingdom of God. And so I want you to look at another passage with me. Over in 2 Timothy, Paul was writing to his son in the faith, Timothy. And this is the second letter in the New Testament that he wrote to Timothy. And here, I'll just read it and you can pick up on what's being said. Paul says this to his son, my beloved son, and it wasn't his real son, it was his son in the faith, right? My beloved son, I pray for a greater release of God's grace, love, and total well-being to flow into your life from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was just gushing with love for this guy. He was like, he just so admired him. He said, "You know that I've been called to serve the God of my fathers with a clean conscience. Night and day I pray for you, thanking God for your life." Paul thought a lot of Timothy. "I know that you've wept for me, your spiritual father, and your tears are dear to me, and I can't wait to see you again." Man, Paul loved him. He loved him. And then he said, "I'm filled with joy as I think of your strong faith." Paul was just made him, he just, Timothy had faith. He believed. And then he said this amazing thing. "It was passed down through your family line." That was added. What was in the scripture was this. "It began with your grandmother Lois. And your grandmother Lois passed it on to your dear mother Eunice. And it's clear that you too are following in the footsteps of their godly example." How did Paul measure? You know how God measures? The standard He holds you to? Do you believe? Do you believe? Do you have faith? You see, those two women had faith. And that's what we know about them. And that's what Paul cared about. You see, faith is a very important aspect in our lives. It's like, you know what faith is? I'll just double dog dare you and challenge you. Do you have faith, Mom? Do you believe that you're the right mother for your kids? You. Not the person on TV, not the perfect mom's picture you have in your mind. You. You see, I don't care what your gifting is or who you are. It's like, I see these pictures of these. You ever seen those bodybuilder women? Like, they have these huge muscles and all this stuff. And they're in the gym working out with their sons. And they're like bonding with them. And they go on triathlons. And they do climb mountains. And it's like they're hanging from one hand at 1,000 feet. And their son's right beside them. That's a great mother. And then I see the moms who are hunters. And they dress in camo. And they put junk on their face. And they go out hunting with their children. And they'll even go out and they'll even go spotlighting with them. Whatever it is, they don't care. They're going to do it with their sons and daughters. They're great moms. I see moms with grease all the way up their elbows and they're underneath the car changing the transmission. Those are great moms. I see moms that are chefs and they do unbelievable things in the kitchen. And then you should see the way they decorate. Their food just isn't wonderful. It's beautiful. You see, there's all these standards. And then I see the godly mother who prays all the time. See, I even put a prefix on that, the godly mother, as if those other mothers weren't. You see, I believe that there's all these ways that you compare yourself with other people and compare yourself with these pictures you have from whatever. And when you do, you don't measure up. You don't measure up. And you know what's bad? You're smart enough to know you don't measure up to that picture. What if God has a different picture? And what He's looking for from every one of you is, do you believe? Do you have faith? Do you believe? I mean, I hate to tell you this, but maybe God is smart enough to pick the right mother for your children. Whether you're a grease monkey, you're a sportsman, or you're an artist, or you're a chef, or you're a scientist working in a laboratory, do you know? And maybe you're even a gym teacher. God knows. God forbid that. But it doesn't matter. God actually knows you're the right mom. And I'll tell you this. Most women, you think you're more powerful than God. Because you can think you can mess things up more than He can keep things right. Now, I mean what I said. You'd say, "Well, I'm not more powerful than God." Oh, yeah? So do you have more faith in your inability than you do in God's ability? You see, I see that all the time. I struggle with it too. God, I gave you my life today. I want to share something on Mother's Day that's in your heart, God. That's my desire. That's my goal. God, that's what I want. And then I can go home and beat myself to death, convinced that after I asked God and sincerely asked Him, help me, I believe I messed up everything he was trying to do. So who's more powerful, me or God? Well, I've got a news for you. You are not smarter than God. You're not wiser than God. And you're not more powerful than him. And if he chooses you to be a mother in this family, that's his choice, and he's right. You can argue with me forever, and I'll just be like, I put my fingers in my ears and go, no, until you finish talking. Because God already told me he was bigger than you. I know he loves, you know he loves your kids more than you do? He handpicked you. He did. He's wise, powerful. He knows the future. He knows the past. He knows everything. So it's interesting to me how we think. Faith is what he's looking for from you. And you know the first place you have faith is, right? You know this. Loving the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. Do you believe God is for you? Do you believe he's for you? Do you believe God's for your family? That's faith. It takes faith. And we're going to look at a woman of great faith. The scriptures in the New Testament, Jesus only said two people had great faith. And one of them was a woman. Both of them were not Jewish. They weren't part of the Jewish religion. So do you believe? Do you believe God's for you? The second thing is, do you believe this? Do you believe that you're the right mom for your family? You talk about take faith. That takes faith. Because you have lots of evidence you're not. You're not meeting this standard. You're not meeting that standard. You're not meeting that standard. Well, how about let's make a choice today to live by one standard. Let's live by faith. What can you pass on to your kids? Faith. Believing. And it'll take great faith. So I want to look at another scripture passage. Listen, faith, I just want to say this. Faith is not the end. Faith is not the goal. And sometimes I think we sound like that in Christianity, and because faith is inseparable from our walk with God. I'll tell you what, faith is not the object of our desire. I think sometimes we give the present a picture that faith is the object of what we desire. It's not. I'll tell you, in my mind, I have this picture. Faith is the river that carries us into the relationship with what our heart desires. Faith is the river that we use to travel into relationship with God. Believing. It's by faith that you're saved, not by works. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is literally what transports us into a relationship with Almighty. And God is looking for one thing from you moms. Faith. Faith. Do you believe that you're okay and that God is good? So, I want to look at another place. I want to look at this lady. Y'all know this passage. Matthew 15, 21. And Jesus is on a journey. And then it says, Jesus left and he went north into the non-Jewish region of Lebanon. Interesting that Jesus would go there. And he encountered there a Canaanite woman who screamed out to him. She screamed at him, "Lord, Son of David, show mercy to me. My daughter is horribly afflicted by a demon that torments her." You know, that's very interesting that she would do this. For one, she didn't let the fact that she was of a different ethnicity stop her. She didn't let the fact she knew how the Jewish people felt about women. She didn't judge herself by that. This lady didn't judge herself by her need. Most of us would be embarrassed if we had a demonized kid. We don't want anybody to know our kids are demonized. She was like, "Hey, my daughter, she's got demons, Jesus. And yes, I'm a woman. And yes, I'm a Gentile. And yes, I know you're not even supposed to be in my presence. I know all that. But I'm not judging myself by that." Do you judge yourself by facts? How do you judge yourself? And you know something else? She wasn't in the same status of society as him. You see, they were uneducated. They shouldn't even been talking to a rabbi. It'd be like, you know how odd we feel when we go into some place and there's somebody from a much higher station in our society than we are. Makes us uncomfortable. She knew her place wasn't talking to that man. She didn't let that stop her. She didn't judge herself by that, her status in society. You see, she believed in the goodness of God more than she believed in the facts around her. She believed. She believed more in God's goodness than she believed in the evidence of what was happening. Because guess what happened? She's screaming at him. And Jesus didn't answer her. The facts was, the way it looked was he didn't want to talk to her. He didn't care about her. Even when it looked like he didn't care, she still believed he did. What's more important? Faith. What do you believe? Do you believe God's good, even when everything looks bad? She did. Then it was even worse. His disciples said, "Jesus, why do you ignore this woman? She's crying out to us." And Jesus said, "I've only been sent to the lost sheep of Israel." What a thing. Her worst nightmare came true. She believed she heard those voices judging her for who she was, and Jesus actually said it. "I'm not supposed to talk to people that aren't. I'm sent to the lost sheep of Israel." And you think she would have quit believing how good he is at that point. You see, you can prove to me your shortcomings. You can prove to me your mistakes, your failures. You can. That doesn't affect anything. God still loves you. He loves your family. And he's bigger than our bad. He's bigger than that. So what matters about your life? What's the standard you should measure yourself by? One thing, it's your faith. It's by faith. So this lady, it's interesting. Silence didn't change her mind. Opposition didn't change her mind. You know what? She didn't become bitter when things weren't working out the way she had hoped. Because this is really hard. I just believe this. I believe this. I don't know that you can see this in Scripture, but I believe the truth. She hoped in His goodness, not in what the results were. She didn't get put out when He didn't heal her daughter, when she thought He should. But something was happening every time she cried out to Him. You see, every time you cry out to Jesus, you're coming into His presence. You know what happens when you come into His presence? You're transformed. Because she went, in the beginning, she said, "Lord," that's a term of respect. You know, like respect, like when I was growing up, anybody older than you was yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. It didn't matter. Their status didn't matter. Anything about them. You showed respect to older people. And Lord was a term of respect. Not a term of relationship, a term of respect. And that's what she addressed Jesus. But do you know, after he said no, that he'd only been sent to the Jewish people, it says in verse 25, this is very important, I think, she came and bowed down before him and said, "Lord, help me." Wow. Now it's no longer respect. Something else has happened. She's bowing before him. She's submitting to him. I think just in his presence, his divinity was impacting her. Just like his divinity impacts us when we're in his presence. It does. And so this woman is being changed. And then Jesus said something that I think probably only one of you mothers could ever make it through this. Just like you can make it through childbirth. This was painful. He said to this hurting lady, dying lady for her daughter, "It's not right for a man to take bread from his children and throw it out to dogs." Whew. She hadn't quit yet. She'd quit now. What's it going to take for you to quit? What Jesus is looking for is faith. That's what he was looking for in her. You see, that's horrible. Does she have any hope? And the next verse, 27, she said, "You're right, Lord. But even puppies get to eat the crumbs that fall from the prince's tables." And the word there is proskuneo in the New Testament, in the Greek. That literally means when a dog comes to its master and places a foot on his knee when he's sitting at a table and looks at him with those dog eyes. I'd try to imitate it, but you guys would laugh at me. Y'all know the look, right? Yeah. It's the look that some of you young men have when you ask a girl out for a date. It's like, It's like they can't turn you down when you do that dog eye thing, right? Because you can't turn it down. When your dog, your favorite dog, your dog comes to you and does that, your heart melts. And that's what she did. That's what the Greek says. She knelt. She knelt before him like a dog, begging with those eyes. And you know why a dog begs? Because a dog knows you're going to give in. He's already figured out who the soft touch is in your family, and he gets you all the time. You're going to give him everything he wants. He can come in the house. Like, the dog knows. She knew in her heart, in her knower, she knew that Jesus was the answer to her problem. He was the answer. And so she humbled herself, but she believed. She believed. She had faith. And then Jesus answered her. And the way this actually reads is, he was chuckling when he said it. He's like, "Lady, woman, dear woman, what a thing. Don't you wish Jesus would call you dear? Dear woman, your faith is strong. What you desire will be done for you." And at that very moment, you want to be a good mom? Faith. You want to see your children's lives prosper and well? Faith. Yeah, but what if I make mistakes? This is great. Let's do preschool. We're pre-K right now. Pre-K. Faith. Yeah, but I need to make the right faith. Yeah, but I'm not artistic. Did you see what those other mothers do? Faith. What? Faith. Well, what's the answer? Faith. What do I judge myself by? Faith. Moms, I know you guys see details that I never dreamed of seeing, but I want to tell you the secret to a successful life is faith in Jesus Christ. So you want your kids to be okay? Your faith is what will turn the tide. Faith. This woman believed even when everything was standing against her. So you know what? I think a lot of you, I mean, I was going to do a talk thing, but I know the men wouldn't talk, so I decided not to do it. But because I know you judge yourself. If you're a mother, I think you must get those shots they give you with stuff in it? You get one of those that's full of judgment as soon as you get married. And it gives you a hyper ability to compare yourself to other mothers. And to compare yourself to imaginary mothers. And to compare yourself to yourself. To compare yourself to your friends. To compare yourself to everything. Everything. And because you think that's what will make you a good mom. And what the Bible says will make you a good mom is faith. So you can forgive yourself. You know that backpack you have of all those things that prove you're a loser? You might as well dump it. Do like that little girl did. Let Jesus come take that away. He carries our sorrows. You see, I don't think you can dump it. It takes an act of God. Jesus died. It's by His stripes that we're healed. It's not even by our decision. It's by His stripes. You can just decide. You know what that teenage girl did? She just made a decision. She didn't want to carry that stuff anymore. then the God of the universe came and took it out of her backpack. So this morning, are you ready to let it go? Come on, you guys all know that song. I'll start singing it if you don't act like you know it. It's time to let it go. It is. Now, you'll feel guilty because you can't let it go. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying letting it go is an act of faith, and Jesus Christ comes and takes the weight. So this morning, faith is the river that'll take you into His presence. And in His presence is fullness of joy. So this morning, moms, if you've been judging yourself, maybe you're not Rosie the Riveter. I didn't even know she had a name until I started looking this up. Maybe that's not who you are. That's okay. It's okay. If she had faith, she's doing good. If she doesn't, she's not doing good. I don't care how strong she is. So this morning, are you ready to let this go? Are you ready to repent for judging yourself by whatever standards you use and decide to trust Him? And you have to do it because, you know, I remember, you moms had these superpowers, right? I remember when Matthew was little, I walked into our front room one day, and Jeannie was in the front room talking to him, and then she was leaving, and I'm looking at Matthew. He's like that old. However that old is, that's how old he is. And he's looking at the back of her head. And I'm like, Matthew, what are you doing? He said, I'm trying to see those eyes. Like, you women do not do that to our sons. He just believed it. She had eyes in the back of her head. How else does she know that he's been getting chocolate? Hello? It's because she can see details that daddies don't pick up on, or we just don't care about. What's a little chocolate before dinner? We don't care. You know, make them strong. So this morning, moms, I know you've been judging yourself. And I know it's okay. It's a journey for you. But you may want to decide today to let that go. Just stop it. Just stop. And live by faith. Make that your goal. Not those women on the billboards. Not the pictures you have in your mind. Make Him your goal. And you reach Him by faith. And when you touch Him, your daughter gets healed. Easy. All right, let's stand up. If you don't mind. Come on, Lisa. Come on up. Oh, that jacket is so cool. I don't even know if it's cool, honestly. I'm sure it is. You're wearing it. It's like, see? Insert foot, take mouth out. That's what we do. So, yeah, elders, you guys, you're here. No, prophetic team, right? Y'all are praying? Yeah, uh-huh. That'd be like two of you are here. That's good. We need, there we go. Do you have a word, Pat? Cool. We're hoping for words.
When I was asking the Lord what He wanted you to know this morning, it was just like His heart was so much not on what you've done or what you do, but who you are. Hmm. Just to really emphasize a time to take away today, if you can, and just let Him look in your eyes, you look in His, just find out how much He really cares about you. And it's like, but Lord, I should have done, or man, I shouldn't have done, or if I only would have, all of those things He wants to just go out the window. He just wants you to think about how important you are to Him, and it's all about that encounter in that relationship with Him. It's not about what we do. It's who we are. And He really wants you to know that today.
Amen. Good word. So let's pause for just a second. And we'll be letting you go. I wanted you to see this. It's all, do you believe? Do you believe that God believes in you? Do you believe that God's for you? And do you believe in yourself? It's all about faith. So let's just stop, pause for a second, if you would. Let's just pray. God, I just think today wasn't an accident that you want to set captives free. God, that you want to change, transform our minds. So, Lord, I ask that you'd give grace and courage to the moms in here that need to let this go today. Need to repent for judging themselves. Criticizing themselves, putting themselves down. And God, I just thank you that just like that day that Canaanite, that Lebanese woman came to Jesus and she wasn't supposed to. God, I thank you that you gave her the courage to initiate something so that she could see her daughter set free. So God, I ask today, you'd give ladies courage to take that step. But God, they wouldn't wait for something to fall from heaven. Jesus, I ask that you give them the courage to take a step this morning. So Jesus, I just ask you to come and speak to each one of us today. Where are we at? So I do believe the Lord wants to speak to you this morning. And if this is an issue in your life, if there's anything you just want to get prayed for, then we want to pray with you. We have three teams up here, and they'll wait as long as you're here. They'll be here, right? And moms, blessings today. Jesus is smiling on you. You know, isn't that crazy? God loves you. Amen. Thank you for coming. We have you a gift in the foyer. Don't miss picking up your gift if you're a mother. The ladies' ministry team, Kay's team, has come up with something they wanted to give you guys to bless you today. Okay? Thank you for being here. Blessings. We're dismissed.